Welcome. This is the sixth episode of the Extensive Reading Podcast, where we take an intensive look at extensive reading. This is Jose.
Travis here.
Good. How are you doing, Travis?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good.
We survived quite a typhoon last night, and here we are.
We did survive typhoon. I know of a golf course that didn't. And it was really sad to see the little trolleys there. Submerged the trees. That was terrible, but we're here. So anyway, last week we had Paul Goldberg, who told us about the X Reading Virtual Library. We had a great episode.
Yeah, that was a great interview. Great time talking with Paul. I hope he had a good chance to talk about his program. And well, what do we have for today?
For today, we have Professor Atsuko Takase, who's been a pioneer of extensive reading here in Japan. She's been doing and researching extensive reading since the early 2000s. She's worked with both high school students and university students, so she can give us both perspectives. Probably, she's an expert in motivation and, and reading, and motivation and extensive reading, both from the point of view of motivating students to do extensive reading, but also to motivate teachers. To do extensive reading. And she's also done research on how teachers' perceptions of extensive reading change before they do extensive reading and after they have been doing extensive reading for a while, and then even after they've been doing it for several years. And I think that's pretty interesting. And
yeah, that'd be really
we have a lot to learn from her.
No doubt. Well, hey, let's get to it.
Yeah, please. Good. Thank you. This is Jose, and with me is Travis.
Nice to meet you. My name is Travis.
Oh, nice to meet you.
My name is,
you can call me Atsuko.
Atsuko,
yes.
Well, thank you.
Well,
that's my first name.
Okay, thank you for being there, and thank you for giving us the interview.
Oh, you're very welcome, and I'm sorry I couldn't do that in earlier days. Yeah?
Not a problem.
No, not a problem.
I have kept you waiting for so long.
No, that's okay. So to get started, we'd like to talk about the World Congress that was this summer. Unfortunately, Jose and I, we weren't able to attend, but we know that you were a chair.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us about how was the Congress?
Oh, it was great. I mean, compared to the first one in Kyoto, unfortunately, there was a typhoon at that time. And then many people canceled. But this time also the typhoon was coming, but it came a little later. And then more people came from, I forgot the number of the country. Oh, I'm sorry. But more people came from more countries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard it was about 400 people, maybe?
I'll have to get the
oh no, it's okay. Don't. Well, that's fine. Don't worry.
You know, I was in Tokyo over the weekend, and the plane was canceled. Last night that plane was canceled, and I took the Shinkansen, and Shinkansen was late. And when we got to Osaka, there's no transportation, and I got home at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my!
And then. Yeah, so I didn't have time to prepare with your talk. Yeah,
that's no problem. Don't worry about that at all. I'm glad you made it back safe.
Yeah, yes, because I had lots to do before the class tomorrow. So I didn't have enough time to finish everything because of that typhoon.
Well, we really appreciate that you're giving us this time when you're so busy and after that.
No, that's okay. But I was expecting the call.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we also wanted to ask you, How did you find out about extensive reading, and when was that?
Oh, it's about half a century ago. Honestly. When I was in high school, I was an exchange student to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a regular high school. My English grammar was very well compared to American native speakers. We study constantly about the grammar and grammar translation.
Yes.
And so I knew most of the grammar, grammatical knowledge. I had most of the grammatical knowledge. Then I went to the English class, and the English teacher told my friend, if you have any questions in grammar, ask her. She knows more than I do, he said. But, you know, we had about 80 pages of reading homework every day. And 30. Then I...
80 pages.
It was really, really hard to finish it. Yeah, 80 pages. Not only English, but I took American history and other things, and math also, but altogether 80 pages.
Every
80
day?
80 pages of reading. And then, pardon me?
Every day? So you had
almost every day.
Okay.
All together, 80
sure.
pages. So even math, I had to read in English, right? Including all those things. And so it took me so long, and I had to stay up late to 2 or 3 in the morning to finish reading. And then, so I felt that our Japanese-English teaching is something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we know complete Japanese, I mean, no, complete grammar in English, that reading speed is very slow, and also writing speed is slow. And even though I knew complete grammar, that writing is not correct. I mean, not fluent.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Grammatically correct sentences, but that's not sometimes doesn't. It makes sense, but it's not a very natural English. So
yeah,
that's
sure.
what I really thought that input was. That's not enough input we have had. And to go to the United States, I had to take several tests, and I passed all of them. So English was one of my favorite and good subjects. But still, to compare with a native speaking friend, reading and writing speed, and also speaking and listening speed. So the fluency was not enough, and fluency practice. We had never had fluency practice. That's what I really thought, that we need to read more. So right after I got home from the United States, I started teaching a private student.
Mm-hmm.
And then on elementary school or junior high school students, I started to have them read easy books, but there weren't enough easy books at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just used children's picture books, and so that was a real start. And it really worked well for those private students.
When was this?
So,
sorry?
Well,
if it's not rude to ask. No, I'm just...
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I went to the States in 1963 and came back 1964.
Okay.
Long before you were born, probably.
That's long before Travis was born, a little bit before I was born, yes. No, I was just curious.
Yeah, that's right.
I was just thinking of...
and then, yes.
Okay, so Tom Robb told us about his experiences using children books.
That the 1980s,
and
right?
And that was towards the end of the 80s at Sangyo University, Kyoto Sangyo University. They were using... Because he didn't have access to graded readers, he was using children books. And I was just wondering about whether that was about the same time or not.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
We didn't have great readers at that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I bought some children's books. So native speaker, the children, L1 children's books.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. Yeah. And I still have some.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that's the thought. And I used whatever materials possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And they started after that. And sometime later, at high school in Osaka, when I moved to Osaka,
uh-huh.
And they some high schools started to use guided readers, but still they were difficult for them. Except for the real good students, they could easily read those graded readers. But still, the way they taught extensive reading is a little bit different from the way that we are doing. I mean, the people from the JERA, Japan,
yes,
Extensive Reading Associate members, we try, the readers, we try the students to read very easy books at the beginning so that they can get rid of translation habit.
Yeah,
sure.
But for elementary school students, they do not, those who haven't done any translation or grammar translation method, then it was easy for them to start reading without translation.
Wow. Wow.
So
I show the picture. Well, I started teaching elementary school students at the Juku, Juku, cram school.
Sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then I read picture books, easy picture books, and showing pictures and explaining the story in English.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy English. Sometimes I use sometimes Japanese, but. And then students understand. Students look at the picture, and then they learn English words. And then gradually they build up vocabulary in English without translating.
Mm.
So I think for the students or the little kids who have not experienced the translation, and then before they get translation habit, it's easier to start. And their reading speed is getting faster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, I need to make sure if they understand the story, I give them some questions. Not the written test or anything, but I ask them, so what happened? What did he do? Or those things.
Mm. Is that,
to make sure they do.
That's while you were reading the story, not at the end. Or both?
Yeah, while I read the story, I ask them stories.
Okay, so you check.
And while they read the story, they read it without anything. But the first time they read through, and then I let them read aloud, and then I ask questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good.
I'm surprised. I mean, that makes a lot of sense, that doing it with younger children, you can do it so directly without influence of grammar translation. But when, let's say in junior high or high school, when students start having or have to study English more formally, how is that different? I mean, what has been your experience in doing extensive reading at like a high school level?
For high school students, junior high or senior high students, they study grammar at school, and they do grammar translation. But on the other hand, when I teach them, I just give them extensive reading. No translation, no grammar. So they study grammar, so they have some knowledge of grammar.
Yeah.
But still, when they read English, I tell them not to translate into Japanese. Just read English as it is. And then I've never taught junior high kids in school, but private students, my private junior high students, it's very, it is successful.
Mm.
Yeah, and they, some students, they understand the story, and it's easy for them to read long sentences or the story. And then one student said, they understand without translation, and his friends don't believe him. But for the text, well, he says, and also the listening. So I read aloud story, so he understands the, well, his listening skill improves. And then when he takes a listening test at school, and they don't, I mean, his friends say, how can you understand English without translation?
Mm.
How can you listen to the story? And he says, why can't you listen to the story? Why can't you understand? Because you're listening, and why can't you do that? So they don't understand each other. But the students who have, yeah, who have had a lot of input through extensive reading and extensive listening, they have no problem listening to stories or listening then reading graded readers, a little even difficult ones.
Can I ask you? You mentioned. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, no. So in the grammar class, they have to study grammar in at school,
mm-hmm.
and they have to translate when the students. I mean, when teacher tell them to translate, they do it. But I never have to in at my house for those private students. I never ask them to translate any English into Japanese. But I have them, sometimes I have them explain the story if they cannot in English and in Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
Not translation, but explanation. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, what was your question?
Yes, you mentioned that you asked the students to read the story aloud. And
yes.
That's something unusual among ER practitioners, as far as I know, and I would like to ask you why. What's the point in having them read the story aloud?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Not the university students, but children, elementary school children.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't know how to pronounce words, and they listen to the CD at home. They listen to the CD and follow the story, and they. I sometimes have shadowing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to have the sound because they are not L1 students. So they have to practice speaking and also the pronouncing and reading aloud and reading silently both. So they do it quietly once and they pronounce it, they read aloud. And also there is a group of students. So one student was reading aloud and other students are listening.
Yes. Yes, yep. I can see how that makes sense. Thanks.
Yeah, that's great.
And you know, if even if they can read silently, if they cannot speak out
mm-hmm.
or read aloud, it doesn't mean that they have mastered, mm-hmm. they have fluency. But the sound is important. Especially for children, younger people. And the sound, they are very, you know, they are very good at listening to the songs and, you know, the stories from CD.
Yeah.
It is necessary for them to read aloud.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good practice.
Yeah, I agree. I really, I liked what you were saying about the student who is just being able to understand a story from reading it and from listening, and maybe his friends who studied uh-huh. grammar were having a difficult time. And just like how
grammar comes later.
Yeah. That must be so motivating for that kind of student.
Yeah. they love to read. And I want to borrow 10 books today or something like that. And I want to read this, and I want to read this. And well, there are six, well, in one class there are eight students, eight kids, elementary school kids, and they really love to read.
What about motivating more reluctant students or students who are maybe not...
Reluctant students?
Yeah.
University reluctant students?
For example, university.
Yeah, for example.
not only, maybe...
High school. Or high school or university.
Maybe you could tell us... First about, say, junior high school, then high school and then university students, for those in our audience who teach at those settings.
Even junior high students, I have never taught reluctant junior high school students because when they come to my class, I mean, it's usually the beginning, at the beginning they come, and then they like English from the beginning. And some students who don't like English, some students who didn't like English, from the beginning I had them read aloud and memorize the sentence. But read again and again until they memorize the sentence or the story.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I use the textbook that they had to study at school, and the students memorize the whole textbook so that they can use the language. Well, I don't think the textbook English is very good, but if they have to take the test, and if it motivates them to study, because they have they succeed in the test, and then they have that taking the high score motivates them to study more.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
They become confident little by little. Yeah, so that's one way to motivate students, and they feel that I can do it. Yeah? That is very important for the students, especially the reluctant students. And for high school reluctant student and a university reluctant student, they are the same. That I, for extended reading, I give them very easy books. I usually tell students to read 100 easy books in 2 or 3 months.
100 easy books in 2 or 3 months.
Yes, yes. Very easy books.
Uh-huh.
So that they don't have to use a dictionary or the translation.
Uh-huh.
That really works. Not the number of words, but books.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask them to read 10,000 books or in 1 month or so, they try to choose a more difficult book. More difficult books than their English level, which does not lead to success in reading.
Yeah, that's right.
Could you tell us which collections you're using? Which are those 100 easy books they would read?
The books. The big series is Oxford Reading Tree.
Mm-hmm.
Oxford Reading Tree, published by Oxford University Press. Yeah, and it has 200 books or so. But the higher level of that is a little difficult. And also the All Aboard Reading series, or Step Into Reading series, and I Can Read series, or Ready to Read series, and those children's books.
For natives, yeah.
For natives, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because there aren't easy enough books from graded readers, and there are from Penguin, Oxford, and Cambridge. Cambridge is okay, but Penguin or Macmillan, easiest books are starters. They are easy. The English is easy, but the story isn't interesting. And have you read them?
I'm familiar with
it.
My junior high school students really like Cengage's Foundation Reading Library.
Oh, Cengage is okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cengage Foundation Reading Library. Cengage is, for some students, even Cengage is difficult.
Yes.
So they have to start Oxford Reading Tree, and when they come to level 4 or 5, and they can move to Cengage.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes.
You said Oxford Reading Tree up to level 4, and then they can move on to
Cengage. Level 4 or 5.
Okay.
And let them choose if they want to keep reading Oxford Reading Tree or Foundation's Reading Library.
Mm-hmm.
And some want to keep up to 9 for Oxford Reading Tree, and others want to change it. But most of them want to keep reading because it's interesting. They like it. They like the series.
I was just wondering, I've always felt that books written for native speakers, for native speaking children, the grammar is very difficult and vocabulary is very difficult too.
Yes.
And I'm always surprised when people who are really experienced in extensive reading like you suggest that that's a better alternative at the beginning than graded readers. Of course, I respect that. I mean, but it's just surprising.
You're right. The grammar is difficult. But for the levels readers from the United States, we, often, as I said, are all about reading or ready to read and stepping to reading. And those series, the low level, is, the grammar is not difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But Oxford Reading, yes, they do use a little difficult grammar. But for reading, I tell them, don't worry about grammar. Just read and look at the pictures and just observe the story. Enjoy the story.
Yeah. Focus on the meaning,
but
right?
Gradually, yeah. Well, I started to talk about repeaters at university. I used to teach repeaters who failed the class for 7 years at one university. And then they started using the Oxford Reading Tree or Osborne or Foundation Reading Library or, as I said, those books, I reading or I can read, or those children's books. And then 40% of the students said, oh, I've learned a lot of grammar through reading those easy books. And actually, I give them the test, the closed test, which they have to know the basic grammar, and mm-hmm. then they improve. Actually, the score improves. So they are getting. They think that they know the order of the language, order of the sentence, and they understand where the adjective comes and how they can use adverbs. That's what they said. So after reading 100 easy books.
Wow,
that makes a lot of sense to me. That's incidental learning.
Yeah.
Would you like to read my study about them?
I would love to.
If you're interested.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I can send you about those motivated readers, or university students.
I teach a number of repeater classes at a university, so I'm very interested in hearing about them.
Oh, you do?
I do, yeah. they're difficult to motivate.
Yes. So I used several other techniques. Or using the Snoopy's book or some very joke books or the other things, but they didn't work very well.
Mm.
But when I started reading, and then it really worked.
Mm.
So, okay, then if you are interested, I can send you some study about unmotivated.
Yes, please. Please.
Yep.
What
Well, that was the first part of our long and extensive interview with Professor Atsuko Takase.
Yeah, thank you for that. That was really great. I was really interested in hearing about just how she got introduced to extensive reading and how she discovered it in her own study in the U.S. and as a high school student. That was really great. And just talking about motivating students and giving them opportunities to succeed reading easy texts.
And telling us about what easy texts can be, mm-hmm. like books for native children.
Yeah.
I've always been really, really skeptical about it because I find those books difficult, but I will give them a try.
Yeah. I hope you stay with us for our next episode where we'll continue our interview with Professor Takase, and it'll be great.
We'll focus on motivation again and how teachers see extensive reading and
the future of extensive reading.
So. Which is a recurring theme in our episodes. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. For Jose, and I'm Travis. Happy reading.